There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-355-1493. 1-800-355-1493. That's 1-800-355-1493.
We're going to meet Reiko Gomez in just a moment, who has some very interesting thoughts about how you put things in place in your life, literally and figuratively. And then we'll be joined by my pal, Uri Geller, and we'll talk about the new Spoonbender, whose appearance on the Apollo show is pretty interesting. A visitation with Mary O'Malley, who is in charge of our psychic side of things. And I want to talk with her about dreams and then some important things about where the moon is and the stars with astrologer Maria Trilogy. So that's coming up later on. Let's get into this conversation with Reiko Gomez, who is an interior designer, trained actually at the Parsons School of Design in New York, but has become a feng shui expert, trained at the American Feng Shui Institute in Los Angeles. So I want to know about your feng shui design company called Reiko. You've been at this for about 20 years. Is that right, Reiko?
I have, Doug. Yep.
So how'd you get, what brought you around to thinking in these terms?
Well, I was always interested in spiritual pursuits and and looking at a lot of the things that you talk about on this show. And my career at the time had me managing an international charity. So I actually traveled to India, and this is where I found out about feng shui, of all things. Mm-hmm. I was working in a rural village. We were about to build a hospital in a very rural area. But before we could break ground on the hospital, the local priests, the Brahmins, told us they had to look at our floor plans first, our construction plans, because they wanted to make sure that the building was going to be in harmony with their environment. And I'd never heard of anything like feng shui before, but this is what they were talking about. And I knew as soon as I heard it that it was true, that I believed in that. You have to live in harmony with your environment. And when you do, everything flourishes. So I worked with them on that, and then I came back to New York where I immediately had to learn more about it. And I found a feng shui master and started studying, and then it just took off.
It's very interesting, even pronouncing, I've heard it pronounced both ways, feng shui and feng shui. You're pronouncing it feng shui. It's spelled F-E-N. For those who want to look it up who may not know anything about it and you're curious, you can look by just going into the toolbar, search bar, F-E-N-G-S-H-U-I, feng shui or feng shui. You're an expert. I'm not, so I'll try to pronounce it your way, Reiko. How's that?
Either way works.
It does. And what I like about you said, living in harmony with your environment, that's something going back to one of my favorite philosophies, thoughts or things, how you think when you're in your house. I had somebody come to the house. I lived in the same house for 38 years, and then I moved around the corner to another home and had a feng shui expert come in. I had somebody come in and sage it, did all kinds of things, because the energy of the people that lived in the house before and had been in here for quite a long time was very negative. I didn't like them. They didn't like me. So I decided, let's clean out. And I have been very happy in this place. I quite like it here. And I wonder if that doesn't set the tone, what your experience has been in working with people, if whether you know something or not about what was in the house before or who was in the house before, can you really just flush out all the old energy? Is it that easy?
Well, it's a great example that you bring up, because you can transform the energy of a space. Absolutely. And it's interesting that your show is called Your Hidden Power. I was thinking feng shui is really your home's hidden power, right? So
yes.
It's a way to figure out what is the underlying energy of a space. And then once you know it, you can change it. And so I'm not sure what your feng shui expert did when they came in. But what I do is I do a number of calculations based on the exact compass direction of a house and the year it was built.
Yep.
And that gives me a kind of energy blueprint. And maybe
she brought in a big compass that apparently a lot of people use. And yes, she did what you were suggesting, but she also looked in the room, and even I have a dairy farm, and I had her go down to the store where we sell the milk and stuff, and we placed the cabinets and the displays in a way that hit the customer when he walked through the front door. And the same thing is true when you walk into your house, how things, or walk into a room, how things affect you. And you may, it's a very subconscious thing, I think, don't you?
Absolutely. And you're right that the way the impressions that you get from the things around you really have an impact on your mood, on your health, and on your outlook.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like clutter in a way. I have had my office and my studio sometimes get a bit cluttered. And I've been told that there is not necessarily negative energy, but you don't have full access to all the good energy if there's a lot of stuff around. Next to my nightstand, there are a bunch of books and things that I read. And somebody might look at that and say, oh, there's a pile of stuff there. But I use it all. And so I don't know whether if you use things, if that's discounted somewhat when you're talking about how to properly position things in a room.
It's a good point, because if it actually makes you feel good to have those books near your bed at night so you can reach for them, then that's probably ultimately perfectly fine. When you talk about clutter on a bigger scale, like cabinets stuffed with things that we haven't looked at for months or maybe years, that's a level of clutter that's just stuck energy. And the sooner we can get that out of there, the sooner there's space for new things to show up.
I had, when I moved, I told you I moved from one house to another, and the other house, even though I had a farm and a house together, out of the house came three dumpsters full of things that hadn't been used, weren't necessary, were stored away for no good reason, you know, stuff like that. So it was good. And maybe even though people don't like to move, it may be a good exercise in some way, shape, or form if you are moving, because you do create new energy with the move, I think. Don't you think that's the case?
Absolutely. You're moving into a new space with new energy. And like you said, oftentimes you're purging your past. Mm-hmm. So you're saying, well, I don't need anymore. This is a fresh start. What do I want to bring with me? And there's no better motivator for decluttering than moving, I've found.
I think you've helped a lot of people, I'm betting, improve their life. You can go to Reiko Design, R-E-I-K-O, which is, some people would pronounce it Reiko, like Reiki healing, but it's R-E-I-K-O Design, ReikoDesign.com. Check out the website as we continue our conversation. We're talking about feng shui and what happens if people make mistakes. Do they make mistakes because they aren't paying attention to you, or are there some feng shui people that make mistakes?
Well, one thing that I've noticed that is a mistake people can often make with feng shui, and it's understandable, is to buy a book and try to follow that book with some feng shui general recommendations for their home and hope to see big changes in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that there's a few different schools of feng shui out there, and what I practice takes a long time to learn. It's a pretty advanced form. What they're selling in the books is a good beginner level feng shui, but it really, in my experience, doesn't have a lot of impact. It's very generalized. It's a little bit watered down for a Western audience, I think, is what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a great beginning because it gets people conscious of their space. So in that regard, I love it. But it really often doesn't have many results. And so I'll get a call from somebody saying, I tried and I used this book and nothing's happening. And then we do a proper feng shui reading of their home and things change.
So you have to be there?
No, actually, I don't. I've been doing this for over 18 years now. And so many people requested services from all over the world that I worked with somebody on developing a really specific way to determine their feng shui online. And that has really transformed my ability to serve people all over the world. So I can do a very detailed feng shui analysis for somebody on the other side of the planet as accurately as if I was doing one for the person across the street. And it's very exciting.
I'm Doug Steffen with Reiko Gomez, who is a pronounced expert in feng shui or feng shui, having your home analyzed from the thoughts or things department. This is really what has to help you to be able to do these things all around the globe. So here's not necessarily a curveball, but what happens during like Easter, but maybe more pronounced Christmas time when you want to change the decoration in your house? We all want good energy around us during the holidays. We all want good energy around us all the time. So how do you get people that will ask you, all right, what do I do to make sure I'm not doing the wrong thing as I change things around for the holidays?
Well, if we've worked together and I've given them the feng shui recommendations for their home, one of the things that is included in that, and I give a very detailed report for them with best colors and natural elements for each part of the home, that can really help people when they want to make a change to their house, either rearranging their furniture or changing a bedroom color. They can look at that report and say, okay, I see that the best element, say, for the living room is fire. And again, this is based on their specific feng shui analysis. Mm-hmm. And so I know that the best color with fire is red. So if I'm going to be decorating my Christmas tree in the living room, I'm going to opt for lights and bulbs and things that bring in that fire energy. So that's an easy way to make sure that the energy stays great in the space, but it's seamlessly blended into your decorations.
So I'm a dairy guy. I have a dairy farm in addition to being a broadcaster, and I love cows. So when people walk into my house, they see cow pictures of the people there. That's how close they are to me, of the cows that have populated my farm. Over my mantle, my friends get the biggest kick out. They walk into the living room and they see a picture of a cow over the mantle, over the fireplace in my living room. You can go up the stairs to my upstairs, the second floor, and there's a Norman Rockwell picture of a cow being milked in a barn.
Well, if they make you feel good, and it sounds like they do, then you're doing the right thing. If you feel uplifted when you look at those pictures, if it makes you smile when you walk up the stairs and see that Norman Rockwell picture, absolutely go for it. The place where I would say it might be a little too much is if you ever went to sell your house. You might want to take away a little bit of that so that it's not overwhelming to somebody for whom that's not their thing.
Really?
I would say in general, if there is something that's close to your heart that really inspires love and good feeling, add that to the space. Make sure that that's around when you wake up in the morning or one of the first things you see when you step through your front door. And that's different for everybody. But think about what those things are and make a point of having those pronounced in your space.
All right. So you beg the question about the whole business of what goes on in a home. If you're selling it, should the home be staged? Do you need to change the energy in a home? Because you don't know who's going to walk through the door.
Yeah, actually, I've been hired many times with people who wanted to stage their house using feng shui to sell their home. And it's a brilliant idea because not only are you making the space feel generally more appealing to buyers, you're also figuring out the feng shui energy of that house and kind of enhancing it subtly so that when a buyer comes through the door, they feel really good, even if they don't exactly know why. And I've seen real success with staging homes using feng shui. Yeah.
All right. So here's the way to get in touch with Reiko Gomez. Go to Reiko Design, R-E-I-K-O, design.com, and you'll see, read through all of this and get information. Just go to, you can look up feng shui and any toolbar as well. It's a fascinating reality and a big help, I think, for a lot of people who just don't know. And it isn't that you don't get it. It's just don't know. And if you're not an expert in this, how would you know? That's why you can. That's what fascinates me, frankly, Rego, about you being able to do it long distance. That shows that the thought part of it is important. Thoughts are things if you can be that accurate.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I had this crazy thing happen with my eyesight. I went back to get my contact lenses done, and my optometrist, and I'm 46, he said, "This is really weird, but your eyesight is better." I'm like, "I can't believe it, but I think it's these vitamins I'm taking."
I'm a huge believer in the product. I've tried lots of stuff, and like this is like the only real thing that I've ever, you know, because of all these comparisons with all the other stuff I've had, this is by far the best thing, and consistently.
We're so healthy now on the Balance of Nature. There's no words to say how well it works.
Doing good on it, really. I'm feeling my skin is softer, and I feel good.
When you call, use discount code DJV, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DJV.
There is always something new with my pal Uri Geller, who's here with us from his home in Israel. So I wanted you to know about somebody that I saw on TV this weekend. There's a show called the, Showtime at the Apollo. You know the Apollo Theater in New York?
Yes.
All right. So Steve Harvey, who's becoming a very well-known American host, has a weekly show that focuses on new talent. And there was a fellow whose name, I wish I could remember him. He was on this past week, and he was bending spoons. And he described himself, it's a one-name guy. His name begins with an S. And I tried to Google it about 15 times over the weekend, and I couldn't come up with his name. But he was on the show, and he bent spoons and described himself as a mentalist. So all I could think of is somebody who was knocking off what you'd done. There was no mention of you, no credit given to you as the person who used his mind first to do this. And I wonder if there's fakery in this, or can other people do it as you have done it?
Okay, Dougie, first of all, you must understand that for me, anyone who bends spoons, whether they mention me or not, is flattering. Because I'm the originator of spoon bending.
Yep.
Before me, there was no one bending spoons. As a matter of fact, there was no one bending metal. For 6,000 years, no one bent metal. So suddenly I come along, young Israeli, bent spoons and forks and keys and blows people's minds. So in the last, I would say, 50 years, there were not hundreds, but thousands of magicians and mentalists who grabbed my iconic show, Let's Talk About the Spoon Bending, and created for themselves a little act. I'm flattered and I'm honored and I respect them because if you come to think of it, I managed to instill spoon bending into world culture. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm going to drop some names now. George Clooney played me. Robert De Niro played me. The Matrix with Keanu Reeves, the first Matrix, if you remember, he bends a spoon with the help of a young kid. Johnny Cash sings about spoon bending. R.E.M. sings about spoon bending. I can name you dozens of singers who sing about spoon bending. Many big bands like Incubus mentioned Uri Geller. How can I complain? So this guy on the stage, good for him. Let me tell you something else. Many of these magicians and mentalists bend spoons much better than me, you know?
Really?
So you figure that out.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wanted to sort of get your take on it because I always want to protect your image, if nothing else, frankly. That's what I wanted to...
No, I love it.
It is. It's kind of cool.
Doug, you know, when I get kind of not upset, but it irritates me, let's say, for instance, like Pokemon... You know, Nintendo suddenly create a character called Ungeller, a little character. They sell 35 million cards, and they didn't even ask me.
And you sued them and won money.
There is another example. I walk into IKEA. By the way, are there IKEAs in America?
Yes, a lot of them. Yeah.
So I one day walk into IKEA and I see a stool, and the stool has bent legs. So I tell Hannah, my wife, I like that stool. Let's go and buy it. I approach the stool and I look at the ticket, and it's called URI, U-R-I. There are dozens and dozens of items that are called after me because they have a slant of the bent thing. It's out of shape and so on. So I'm very honored, and I'm glad that there are thousands of young magicians who imitate me. Wow, I couldn't ask for more.
All right, that's a good way to, that's a very positive approach to it. All right, let's see what else is going on here. There's a new mind reading machine that is aiming to read one's thoughts and translate them into text. So this is another thoughts or things using your mind. How is this going to work? What do you know about this?
Okay, they approached me about this machine. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was in the Sun in England. That's a big daily read by 12 million people. And they interviewed me about this machine. The article is so fascinating that I saw it in many other publications around the world. What they have managed to create is a machine that once you're attached to it with electrodes, you can actually think of anything you want, and it'll read your mind. And my response was, this is fantastic, you know, for disabled people who cannot speak, etc. But let's face it, we all have secrets. And we all keep those secrets in the dark echelons, in the dark caves of our mind. This machine can actually penetrate those areas in your mind and pluck that secretive thought out of your mind, and you can it can display it on the screen. There's no doubt that CIA, FBI, NSA, National Security Agency, they're all MI5, MI6, Mossad, KGB, they are going to jump on this machine because it's a fantastic tool for them to use against spies.
So this has a 90% accuracy rate, if what I'm reading is correct. That'll help a lot of people. If, as you've suggested, if you can't speak, yeah, it'll help people communicate. But there are a lot of other, I would say, ethical questions here, aren't there?
Of course there are ethical questions, absolutely, but hey, Doc, come on. We are advancing in huge leaps.
Yeah,
you know that maybe 500-600 years from now, we'll just be able to read minds without any machines.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, Doc, let's speak about it next week. I love you. I hug you. I'm in a place called Rishon, which is very close to Tel Aviv, and there's a crew here. We're doing rehearsals. We all send you love. Everybody in America, a big hug from me.
All right, Uri, back at you. Great hugs to Uri Geller. His website is URIGELLER, urigeller.com. I'm just looking at this device that he's talking about. Helped to develop speech prosthetics for people who can't speak. This is really, but then the whole business, as he suggests, about secrets, that would be something that would throw me off. Because we all have secrets, and we don't want people to know what our secrets are. That makes good sense. I'm Doug Steffen with Mary O'Malley, who is our resident psychic, the focus of dreams. I bring myself into a lot of these stories when it comes to helping people. I don't mind me being put out on stage, if you will. I find that I'm really kind of taken back by a dream that I had over the weekend, Mary. The dream was with me and Hillary Clinton. And it went on and on. I can remember it vividly, many parts of it. It seemed like we're told that with REM sleep, you only have the last few minutes of your night in which the dreams take place. But this thing sure seemed like it was going on and on and on and on and on. And so I wondered about dreams and the fantasy. A lot of people think that dreams predict the future. Do people come to you and ask you to help them interpret or understand their dreams?
Yes, on occasion. Mostly the people who find that their dreams are intuitive, giving them information. A lot of people receive psychic information through dreams.
What sort of psychic information was I getting from Hillary Clinton?
I'm not sure that was a psychic dream. The first thing that I always do is I say, what part of you does that person represent? You know, does something about Hillary Clinton represent some part of your personality that needs attention?
Well, you know me pretty well. I'm thinking it through.
Well, one thing about her is she does persevere, you know, through anything. And she's been through some ups and downs and, you know, with Bill and everything else. And she still keeps fighting. She still keeps trying. And that reminds me of you. Mm-hmm. You know, you just keep moving forward no matter what. And I just think that's a really strong personality trait. But yeah. with Hillary, then we have the feminine part of it, the more creative part of it. So you might want to integrate, you know, how am I being creative? How could I be more creative, you know, with that part of my personality?
I mean, does that make sense? Yeah, it does. And I'm approaching some things this week that will require more of my creativity. It seems that in this circumstance, where I'm working to save my farm, the idea of having people work with me, you'd think would be easy and we'd have great support for it. And I guess I'm paying more attention to the people who are detractors than those who are supporting me. And I think that gets in the way of, you know, thoughts are things. And I've been thinking this weekend a lot about my thoughts, because none of us have positive thoughts 100% of the time, do we? Do you know anybody who's ever come to you, or anybody who's a professional, anybody from any walk of life, who thinks about things or any number of things only from the positive?
No. I know a lot of people that, you know, work to change their thought process, but it doesn't seem to come naturally. You know?
No, it doesn't. So
I'm sure there's somebody out there, you know, but I haven't
found
them
yet. Yeah, right.
Right.
All right, so in a session with you, and somebody, let's say they call you up or they go online to psychicscout.com and they want to have insight into their dreams, you give them the same advice you just gave me. Do you want to dig into them, or does it lead, sometimes the dreams lead to a dead end?
Yeah, I give the same advice. First, I ask them, you know, what part of your personality would this represent? Or does this person represent something in your life? For instance, whenever I need to pay more attention to something in my life, I'll have a dream that represents somebody that was a danger to me in the past or that hurt me in the past.
Really?
So I'll ask that first. But, you know, then there are also, like I said, people who receive a lot of intuitive information through their dreams. They'll dream about somebody and that person will pass away the next week. Or their loved ones who've passed on will come visit them in their dreams. So it depends on the nature of the dream.
This is not just for entertainment, although a lot of people get readings from folks like you for entertainment purposes, but they really do. If you focus on your thoughts, really, you can get a lot of help. So Mary is certainly happy to help you out if she can. PsychicScout.com. Mention you were listening to her on Your Hidden Power. Time for Your Hidden Power to focus on astrology. We do all kinds of different things that are sensitive. And Maria Francesca Trilogy, who's available at smbworks@earthling.net, fascinating way for her to get to you and to figure out what's going on with you. We've talked about Mercury being in retrograde. That continues for another, 10 days or so, I think, as it is tied to the spring equinox. There was a big full blue moon over this past weekend. Any significance to that other than looking at it and thinking, wow, that's a big moon out there? But the moon always affects us no matter what our sign, doesn't it?
Yes, it does do that. Hello to everyone. Yes, the moon, you know, it affects us because of the fact that it's either a new moon or a full moon, depending on the phase of the moon. When it is full, though, it is in its entirety. And that's when the energy of it is the strongest And then always important to know what sign it is in, because then that will signify what kind of energy that full moon is emitting.
All right, so what sign was it in?
In that way.
Yeah,
it
what
was
sign
in the sign of Libra.
Mm-hmm.
And Libra is the sign that represents peace and harmony and justice and balance. So when we have a moon like that, it gives us an opportunity to look at our lives, to see where we're out of balance and where we need to bring more peace and harmony and direct our conversations with people with less confrontation and the idea of resolution.
How many people actually do things like that, though? How many people in your, other than coming to you and they say, yeah, okay, I hear you, that's a great idea, but how many people really do what you're suggesting here?
Yeah, well, let us think about that. And that's a good question to ask and something to ponder, because how many people do pay attention?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, and wouldn't it be great if more people did pay attention and understand the influence of the planets to support their lives better, to look around and see what, you know, what kind of energy that planet is bringing, or who they are overall astrologically and in any way. I mean, why not take that opportunity? And what a great time to do that. What kind of energy do I want in my life as I move forward? Where am I out of balance?
New beginnings.
And if we looked at ourselves, yes, totally.
Yeah.
And I think we all need to focus on finding new ways, especially with the world feeling, you know, so out of balance.
Well, I was talking earlier today about how people seem to want to focus on the presidency. And I'm a history scholar, and I know a lot about American presidents. And most of the rule has been that presidents have been dysfunctional, not functional. Not just in our memory, but the history of the country. And if you think about the leadership of the whole world, and most of the people that we know about, look at Caesar, for God's sakes, or Nero, the old expression, fiddle while Rome burned. He set Rome on fire he wanted to make the Christians the bad guys. So that was part of what Easter was all about, frankly.
And if that's all, that's so great and so true that you're saying that. And that we need to look further than that, look beyond the presidency, look at really our lives in our day to day and figure out a better way for us to be in our own life. Rather, we're always wanting to look out at what's not always, but, you know, the tendency, like you say, where's the gossip? What's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with this government? What's wrong with this world? And when we think about it and look back, it's only one small portion of a much bigger picture.
And if we picture them like we picture ourselves, none of us are perfect. We all have our foibles. And so maybe you need to get a little checkup. I'm going to suggest you get in touch with Maria at smbworks@earthlink.net. She's got some spring equinox ways to refocus your life and get information that will help you. So it's smbworks@earthlink.net for Maria Francesca Trilogy, our astrologer here on Your Hidden Power.